Quaid, right? I'd like to call this meeting to order. Perhaps we could stand. Let's do stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll say a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this day, grateful for our homes in the mountains and the beauty of this earth. We're grateful to be a part of a community and pray that as it relates to water and the water district and decisions that wisdom can prevail, and common sense and unity. Please bless us to those ends, and we thank thee for all we have. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and do a roll call, starting down there with Victor.
Victor Tayo, present. Larry Ganeshaw, present.
George Borkowski, present.
Corey Ellsworth, present.
Steve Bowen, present.
Sharon Hillman, present.
And Roger Childers is not present today, but we do have a quorum. I'd like to call for a motion to approve the minutes of the May 25th, 2023 regular meeting.
Well, so moved.
Any second?
I'll second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving it, say aye.
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 Any opposed, nay. Those are approved. All right, we're going to move into number six, the regular set of reports, and start with Paul Hendricks, our program manager.
You want this used?
That's probably
just turn
a good
it on
idea.
If you want
good
to.
Idea.
Just hold the button down until the light comes on.
Yeah, slide it, don't you?
So when we're speaking, what's picking us up? Is that a...
Yes.
This is picking us up?
Yep, click.
That and that, okay. Let me find somebody out there I know. Who's out there? Steve Ween, did you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, thank you. Paul's going to use the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Board. Happy to be here today. As part of the projects and program management activities, we worked with the community outreach as well as our consultants to put together dashboard reports. Those are available on the website to the public, and it gives everybody an up-to-date access and a graphical representation of where the project is, color-coded based upon what street the pipeline's being installed on. So a very good document there. I would just encourage everybody to go to the website and access that. Construction activities. We're at 65% on the Cool Point 8 project. The contractor on the main lines actually is around 80% for the main lines. And as you know, the old 80-20 rule, just because you have the main line installed doesn't mean you've got all the service lines and all the ancillary work. But come along very well. But overall, my report indicated we were at 51%. They're now at 65% as of today's report. Woodland Heights is scheduled to come on to construction after this, after Cool Pines, and then Whispering Pines this fall, and then White Oak on into next spring. The Deep Well project, we're still on schedule for mobilizing the contractor in early September, and we're working with the design engineer on the access of electrical power. We'll need between 50 and 75 horsepower worth of electricity at that site, which will require a three-phase service from APS, and we're working on getting the application in. Those are long lead items for the electrical equipment, but the engineer of record is working on that. We're well along on the design schedule for the portals, one and two pipelines. We just received that set of basically complete plants. They call them 95% because they have sealed them. But they're at the point where we could make a final review of those. Our internal comments are due by the 24th of this month, and then we're hoping to be out to bid in September for this project. The engineer's estimate is $6.1 million, and we'll be replacing over 17,000 feet of line in portals 1 and 2. We had a geophysical company come in as one of the sub-consultants and do some work to assess the hard rock conditions in the area. We think that there might be 75% of the project would be hard dig or hard rock digging, which will be a premium. We think it might cost as much as $1 million for the extra hard rock in that project. We're involved in a regular basis working with the district treasurer in the district disbursements with the WIFA funds. And as you know, the Sunrise Engineering under the USDA requirements providing on-site resident project representation or inspection. We made good progress, district staff made good progress in making sure all the existing wells and booster stations. On the 26th, we got a report from the wells, and we only have two wells that are not functioning out of the full cadre of those. And we're anticipating that we'll be able to meet the weekend demand. Tanks are up there, and we have some minor leaks in the system that are kind of ongoing. From the standpoint, you fix one and then there's another. That's why we're replacing the pipelines that we are. But we're confident that we'll move into the holiday weekend and be able to meet the between storage and pumping. The initial refurbishment and inspection of the Tomahawk and Milk Ranch tank got done during this fiscal year. The inspection reports are in from those, and we're going to need to budget for coating, protective coating on the inside of those tanks, and some aesthetic and protective coating on the outside to maintain the ongoing condition of those tanks. Pine Ranch 2 booster, APS, and new electrical and mechanical equipment is all ongoing from that standpoint. And then we're getting some quotes for upgraded and new booster stations, pumps at the Milk Ranch. We have some capital funds that we're going to be looking at upgrading the portals 2. In portals 2, there's an intermediate booster station that been kind of put together piece by piece over the years, and there's some conditions in there that aren't up to code, and we want to have a more reliable unit there. We're going to use district capital funds for that, and then we work in conjunction with the district staff reviewing leaks and leak response in the system. We assist in procurement and disbursement reviews, and then I make regular visits out to the construction sites. And at that point, if there are any issues, we can address those. I don't have any other specific items. I'd entertain any questions.
I had one on the Milk Ranch, the upgraded booster pumps. That isn't about pumping more water, it's about getting it into the distribution system.
So the wells pump the water into the two tanks that are located there, and then there are two pressure booster pumps that then run it out into the system. We've had some challenges with the electrical equipment associated with that, and we've had some challenges with the pumps. Those are among the most critical pumps that we have, based upon the water that comes out of that area and not only can it provide the pine work, the pine water, but also send the water up to up north. So they're critical from that standpoint. So.
Any other questions for Paul?
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Let's move to the treasurer's report.
We're looking good budget-wise through 11 months of the year to May 31st. Everything seems to be online other than a few factors, a few items that have gone over budget due to disastrous repairs and stuff like that that had to be done. Increased costs in paving. Paving has doubled in the last year and a half, and so we're modifying that in the budget for next year. But we're still on target for the year, and we're doing very well. Looking forward to moving into next fiscal year. This report will be posted to the website.
Thank you. And since we control our funding, this is not a use it or lose it kind of concept for us, right?
No.
Thought so. Good. Will be posted. Thank you. Vice Chairman's report. George.
Okay. I have some information on the moratorium update. The graph you see in front of you is really more for information. But one of the things we have to worry about is we're increasing our supply. And as we release meters, we need to know, will there come a point where we've released too many? And that we should stop or pause for a while until we gain additional capacity, like our new well coming on and that sort of stuff. So I put together a graph here, and this is more just for a demo than to be 100% accurate, but if you look at the blue line on top, what I'm measuring is the total well output. Basically, everybody goes around, our team goes around twice a month, I believe, and measures the gallons per minute or gallons per hour out of a well, and they log it. So we look at the total gallons that come out. The second line, which is the red line, is the gap between, there are always some wells that have to be fixed or are being brushed and baled and they're temporarily down. So I'm trying to get that gap of what that is. So the line that we really have to look at is the red line, because that's really more the true capacity. The line below, the yellow, that's historical demand from the system. In other words, every month we get a demand number of so many millions of gallons that people use. That's dropped down to a daily basis. As you can see, it looks quite far below our capacity, but what's missing here is leaks and then peaks. And what I mean by peaks are, we know we have we have some pretty good capacity, but we know on a four-day weekend like right now, we might utilize a lot more water per day than we would normally per month. So I'm working with Paul, and we're going to try to determine a way of using our tank measurements and their heights to develop a way of determining what that gap is. So the goal basically is we want to be able to monitor the demand when it hits a line in the sand that we finally determine. And then this one, I got it at about 75%, but that's still not totally determined. It's got to go to the board for a vote and all that. But so that when we hit that line, we're going to have to either pause or stop, pause or slow down meter releases. Now, right now, you can see it doesn't look like we have much issues, but we want to be able to monitor both sides. We're getting close. We're getting very close to being able to release meters. We're seeing some real progress, as Paul probably talked about, in gaining capacity. And we're also seeing some progress. We've actually figured out a number that determines for every 1,000 feet of pipe how much more capacity we get. So we've done all that. So it's actually looking real good. We'd like to look at 2 months more worth of data. I have not proposed anything to the board, nor has the board approved anything. But at that point, I will put together a package that I'm going to present to the board to do a slow release of meters. I'm not going to give you a date when that's going to occur, but I would like to look at least two months more of data, because these are our highest demand. And really, we plan around these summer months. The rest of the year, we're covered. It's these summer months. We don't want to be in a situation, though, that we get out there and we release too many meters and all of a sudden our customers are running out of water because we overdid it. So basically what I'm trying to do is to design that stop point, that break when we have to stop releasing meters. Because it's going to be over a year before we see any wet water coming out of the new well. I mean, with the long, the drilling, all the stuff, the infrastructure has to be put in. So between now and then, we have to make sure we really monitor that. If the new well, it works the way we think it will and gives us the type of capacity or that we think it'll give us, we will be in very good hands after that, just by the pure numbers. So my next action is I'm going to be gathering all this high demand season stuff the next 2 months and determining. I've finalized a release priority plan. Put together a meter release plan that basically I'm not going to give you all the details, but it'll take into account that property owners that are not building and are not and do not have a house and they don't even have a building permit will slide down the list until they get the building permit. This all has to be board approved. But what we're trying to do is make it fair for people that are out there that have houses and have properties so that they can get the water first. Okay, so the people, but listen to me clearly, that doesn't mean the people with vacant lots aren't going to get it. It just means that they're going to fall, they're going to stay on top of the list until we see a building permit. Okay, so once that gets all finalized and approved, we'll present that and the flow chart on how it's all going to work so that everybody can review it and it'll be up for comments. Are there any questions from the board?
Any questions from the board?
No.
Thank you. Secretary's report.
None.
District Attorney Steve Ween, report.
I am here. I'll go ahead and put the camera on. It seems like we're doing pretty well on the map here today. So, as far as a report goes, what I'm going to suggest is that I go ahead and wait until we get down to agenda item 7. That's where most of the issues are that I can discuss. So we can just talk about those during that part of the work. Does that make sense?
Makes good sense. Yeah. Thank you. We'll wait till that
all
point.
Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We have a couple people online from ADEQ.
Yes.
And I wonder if we could move up the Ponderosa water issue to before doing anything else.
Absolutely. In terms of a chairman report, I'm going to forego that. We'll have discussion. I'll have comments in some of the other sections, but moving forward. So even in front of number 7?
No, I think we can do number 7.
Number 7. So, consideration discussion of unscheduled comments from the public. Do we have any blue cards, Larry?
Online.
Okay. Sorry, no physical ones in the room.
Is there a chat
no.
there? Is there a chat on the side? Just in case someone put something in the chat.
We're just checking to make sure that we don't have a request to comment.
No one has raised their hand.
Okay.
So
okay. Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and.
That's it. Yeah.
Nobody there. Okay. Let's go ahead and pull forward item number
5.
Number 5.
Yes.
Discuss and take possible action regarding the interconnect to the Ponderosa Water Company. And Sharon, will you address that?
Yes. I'm not going to go through the detail of the first two sections about the special meeting and those and the study session that was held. There is a draft agreement between the district and Ponderosa that has not been approved by the board or executed. During the moratorium, the district has not sold any water for purposes other than their customers. And then this is regarding the NCS report, which is an engineering report that was commissioned by ADEQ regarding Ponderosa water. Per the report, Ponderosa is required to install the meters provided by the district and read the meters for several months to provide readings to ACC for a rate increase. Based on the current customer billings of $12 per month, Ponderosa Water does not collect enough fees to purchase water from the district. Yet the current price is now $16.43 a thousand gallons. ADAQ is requesting the status of the interconnection. The interconnection is the same as it was last year, the same factors. There's no agreement to sell the water. The district is still in moratorium. And to our knowledge, Ponderosa Water is not able to pay for the water to supply to their customers. So the interconnection is still unused at this time, and we don't really have a date when it ever will be.
What, if it's the same as it was, what brought it back onto an agenda item?
ADEQ. Alex from ADEQ contacted us and wanted to know what the status of the interconnection was. And it was a year ago since I had reported on it. So I'm pretty much reporting on the same information that was based last year. That's all we have at this time.
Okay. And should we ask ADEQ for comments or questions?
Yes,
or?
Sure.
And you know them better than I do. I've not had a
I know them. I know that Alex was there.
I'm not sure we can do that.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. And we're...
Karen?
Sorry. Yes, I'm Karen Shadfelton. I do work at ADQ. I work very closely with Manny Bowler, Alex, and Linda Taunt, who has been involved in the project for several years.
Okay.
The renewed interest is that Alex and I did recently inspect Ponderosa. We had seen the interconnect. We wanted to just have a sense of when, if and when the moratorium would be lifted. I know the vice chair gave us an update, and I appreciate that. In regards to the slow release of meters and how you're prioritizing them, how does I realize that Ponderosa still needs the rate case completed, but once that is completed, where are they on the priority list? Or
we'll have to discuss that outside. We'll have to discuss that outside this meeting.
And we do need to take a note to discuss it, so we'll do that. Any other comments from the board on this item? Okay. Yeah, there's a few issues.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Steve Ween. And I just want to shed a little bit of light on the process for everybody involved. I did look at the Arizona Corporation Commission filing by Ponderosa Water. It is far from sufficient. I don't know if the Arizona Corporation Commission staff is going to help them bring it to sufficiency, but that process alone will take at least 30 days at a minimum. From there, I'm assuming there's going to need to be some financing of the system, some improvements that need to be made to the system, and going through a whole rate case. We are realistically looking at, unless they file for an emergency of some sort, we are realistically looking at over a year through the Arizona Corporation Commission process before there's any rates put in place where they could actually, where the company could afford to buy water from the district.
Okay. Thanks for that extra information. So, all right. Let's go ahead to old business 8-1. Have a public hearing, take possible action regarding the water rates for 2023-2024. Who's got that? Is that you, Christy, or is that Sharon?
No, that's me. I make a motion to open a public hearing.
I second that.
All right, open public hearing.
We have to say aye.
Oh, sorry. All those in favor going to open public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, that carries. Open public
hearing. Okay. Attached is the approved rate schedule for the fiscal year 23-24. The base and tier rates are included directly from the RCAC rate study previously approved by the board. The rate study can be found on the district's website, bswid.org. For rates not included in the rate study, a mathematical formula was applied. using the rates found in the study to calculate missing ones. The increase in the tier and base rates this year is 3% for the fiscal year, and I would like to make a motion for final approval of the updated rate schedule for fiscal year 23-24.
I second that.
Yeah.
You made the motion, right, Sharon?
Yes.
I second that.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. That carries. Thank you. 8-2.
Okay, we have to, I have to make a motion to close the public hearing.
Yes.
And then...
I'll second that.
Second that, okay.
And all those in favor of closing the public meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Closed.
Then make a motion to open a public hearing.
Second on that? Sorry?
Second.
All those in favor of opening a public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
All right, we have a public hearing back there.
Okay. This one is as a proposed tax rate and amount for the year. The tax rate, which is, this is the Gila County real estate tax rate that all customers pay. The tax rate will remain the same as last year's rate of 1.3981. The projected revenue from the property taxes for this fiscal year is $966,015.38, and are dedicated to loan principal and interest payments. The taxes are collected at the rate times the value provided by the Gila County Assessor's Office on an annual basis. This is an increase over the prior year of about $39,664.38 due to market increased values of all properties in the district. I make a motion for the board to approve the tax rate structure remaining the same as last year at 1.3981 for the fiscal year 23-24, and the Gila County Taxes Treasurer to collect $966,015.38 on behalf of the district.
Second it.
It's been motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, before we vote, let's just confirm, I just want to confirm that you have no speaker card or request to speak on this.
No.
Okay. Great. Let's just make sure we confirm that, because that is part of the public hearing.
I see.
So,
okay.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor of approving the tax rate structure, please say aye.
Aye.
That was a quorum. That passes.
Did we have a motion to approve? We approved it? Motion to close the public hearing?
We did not.
Yeah, we have to close after each one.
Okay. So you made the motion?
Yes.
Seconded?
Second.
All right, those in favor of closing the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Public hearing is closed. Let's move to number four with Christy.
No, we got one more.
We got three.
Oh, three. Oh, never mind.
Why do we have to close the public hearing if the next one's a public hearing?
I don't know. Do we have to do them individually, Mr. Attorney?
Legally, no, but the way it's written on the agenda, that's the way we're doing it. So
okay.
Let's just follow the agenda.
Okay.
Next year, we'll do it differently.
All right.
Good call.
I make a motion to open public hearing.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are in a public hearing.
This one is on the final budget for 23-24. The cash is the final proposed budget for the new year. It also includes the second year's required interest payment on the WIPA for the design loan for next year. USDA will pay off the WIPA loan at that time. It also includes the new WIPA loan of $17,500,000 for the construction of the USDA projects. Interest on both the new and both the new WIFA loan and the new USDA loan have been included in the budget as well. All items have been calculated using the district's first 11 months revenue and expenses annualized over 12 months. In addition, the 3% income and 3% increase in expenses per the approved rate study have been included. I make a motion to approve the final proposed budget for fiscal year 23-24, effective July 1, 2023.
I second.
Then motion and second. All those in favor of approving the final proposed budget, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Nay. Opposed? Nay. None.
See if there's any questions.
What is it we ask for, Steve, in these public hearings?
Just if there's any public comment.
Any public comment on the budget? Okay. Allow for an appropriate pregnant pause and say no and then move on. We need to close that public hearing, right?
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All those in favor of closing the public hearing say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Closed. Let's go ahead to item number 4 regarding water share annual adjustments by Christy.
For the water share wholesale price for fiscal year 24, I'm requesting that we retain the $1.05 a review of district's expenses for operating and maintaining water well sites, water share well sites, as well as market conditions in the upcoming year, yields the following. District cost to operate and maintain water shares continues to average $50,000 per fiscal year, reviewing the prior 3 fiscal year budget versus actual reports. The inflation rate remains steady through June, according to market watchers, and is expected to begin leveling off in the new calendar year. The producer price index has declined since May of last year. However, the primary driver is due to the reduction of fuel and crude petroleum indexes. The cost to operate and maintain water shares not directly affected at this time by the reduction of fuel costs, as materials required for repairs and maintenance is still high. Any questions for me?
Cool. Anyone want to make a motion?
I make a motion to retain the current water share wholesale rate of $1.05 a thousand gallons.
I second that.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 6, Steve Ween, our district attorney.
Yes, thank you. You're talking about the possible action regarding the Strawberry Hollow dues issue. Can you guys hear me okay?
We lost you for 8-10 seconds. You're back now.
Okay, I don't know what happened there. Thank you. I'm going to turn my camera off because I think that's what did it.
Okay.
So, regarding Strawberry Hollow dues issues, I have nothing else to report. We haven't heard any feedback yet on our position. It's just gone radio silent. I could reach you out again if that's what you want, but for now, there's really nothing to report.
Okay. Thank you. Let's keep you on the mic and move right into item number 7, which has 5 sub-items, and over to you.
Okay, thank you. These are all various issues that have legal implications that we discussed in an executive session. The intent here is to ensure that if we need to move forward with action, we do so now, because as you all are well aware, we cannot act in an executive session. So I want to put these on the agenda. I'll talk about each of them briefly and ask how you'd like to proceed. Number 1 is the Wilson damages claim. What we have talked about and discussed, and my recommendation at this point is going to be reach out and seek a settlement consistent with the terms that were discussed in the executive session. Again, we can't reveal what was said in the executive session, but I understand the range of dollars in which we could settle the claim up. So with your permission, I will move forward and enter into a settlement discussion with Wilson's attorney and move forward.
Yes.
We have to vote on it.
We don't have to vote on that thing.
I don't think so.
I think that's why we're doing this.
Is to vote
so
on
that
it.
We do vote on it. Yeah.
All those in favor of within the
discussion we had in executive session, giving Steve the opportunity to go talk about settlement. All those in favor of that say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. So you are approved, okay. Steve.
Thank you. Next issue, Alfred James' position on the new well site matter. So that everybody understands what is happening, the Halpern James family or families own two properties near the McKnight property that was purchased for the deep well site. They objected to drilling a new well on that property and are claiming that the restrictions would prevent that from occurring. They are going to file a complaint. If they haven't filed a complaint already, they may have already filed a complaint. They haven't served it yet, but based upon my recommendation to the board would be give me direction and authority to go and talk to the Halpern James attorney and see if there's some sort of compromise that we can reach so that we don't have to spend money on a lawsuit. If I can be authorized to enter into those settlement negotiations, I would appreciate it.
Those in favor of authorizing Steve to enter in discussions with the Halpern James families on this issue, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Approved. Okay. Authorized.
One last, yes, and the other point here that I'd like to clarify with the Halpern James, they have asked if we do move forward with litigation, they're asking us to waive service. That's typical. It means that we'll save them a few $100, and they would like to be able to serve me with a lawsuit instead of trying to serve the district, which can be rather difficult, honestly. As common courtesy, that would be done upon lawyers, but of course that's your call. I would suggest we do it, and I'd like authority that if we do have to go through and litigate, we would allow them to serve me.
All those in favor of allowing him to negotiate that and be served?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Authorized.
Okay, thank you. Number three, the Nelson EEOC claim. Nelson, former employee, has filed an EEOC claim. Obviously, we're not going to go into the details of that public session right now, but I wanted you to be aware of it. There is an option to go to mediation. I've tried to contact the mediator. I think the mediator might be out, but obviously, I can't authorize mediation on my own. That is for you as a board. So I'm asking whether or not you want to authorize me to enter into mediation regarding the Nelson EEOC claim.
Yes. All those in favor of authorizing our attorney Steve Ween to enter into mediation with regard to the Nelson EEOC claim, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? By nay. Authorized.
Thank you. Fourth, Bill Branch Will and others on the board, particularly Sharon, is much more familiar with this and has a better idea of the facts on the ground. But apparently, the district owns two well sites, two properties with two different wells. When these were acquired, there were easements put into place. There's surrounding land near the well site. It's not just a postage stamp of 10 feet by 10 feet. It's a rather large area, and apparently, based upon our research, it looks like there have been some vehicles, maybe even trailers, things of that nature, that have been put on the easements and on the property. Not sure if they're abandoned easements and vehicles and trailers, or if people know where they are, or if it's the neighbor who's just parked there out of convenience. It's not really clear, but
we obviously to access the property and just keep the well site secure, we need to make sure that our easements are usable and, you know, we don't have non-district vehicles and trailers and things like that on the property. There's a couple options that are available to us. One of the options is to contact the sheriff's department and see if we can track down whose vehicles those are, because there seems to be some indication that it may not just be the neighbors. There's other public people that have been doing things even such as picnicking on these sites. So we would really like to figure out whose vehicles are there, if they're abandoned or not, how to proceed. And maybe the first step is to talk to the sheriff's department and see if we can find out who owns them. You know, the other option is to, you know, talk to the neighbors, see what he knows or doesn't know. And eventually we need to clean up this whole situation so the easements are secured and the land is secured. I don't have a recommendation for that, but it would be good to figure out how the board wants to proceed with the Milk Ranch well, at least on the first step. Do we ask for some assistance from the county sheriff to find out who the vehicles and trailers and the other miscellaneous things are, or do we just go to the neighbor? And sometimes that can be an inconvenience because he may or may not know. So however the board would like me to proceed or direct staff to proceed, we'd appreciate it.
Discussion from the board on that one? Comments?
I believe in our executive meeting we discussed going to the sheriff's department first.
Yeah, that's correct.
As a start. Does everybody have agreement with that?
Yes.
And would that be Steve that does that, or would that be us?
No, it would be staff that does that. Yeah.
So do we need to vote on that? Just take it forward and do it.
Just take it forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take that step.
Yeah, I think staff can act, but it would be good to know, you know, that at least the board is informed of what's happening. So okay. I don't think there's any particular action that needs to be taken, but you do, as a board, need to be informed about what's going on.
Okay. Thank you. Maybe just a. My name is there with you, Steve, on number 75. I'll just make a very quick comment. In association with allegations and efforts to communicate more clearly with the community and to ensure we're doing the right things, we've asked Steve to look into all the various claims and information that came our way. And he has done that. And we've asked him to talk to anyone and everyone that makes sense and is reasonable, and to give us a report. And this is his readout on that.
Thank you. And right now, I'm in the process of finalizing that report. Some of the issues, as you know, as the board knows, maybe not the whole community, but many of these issues came from several people in the community who've been, I would say, at least vocal opponents to certain actions and certain actions taken by certain board members that have been focused on those board members. There were over 100 what I would call allegations. Some of them were questions, issues raised. Some of them were pointed statements about saying something was wrong or things of that nature. But I took all of those and that were written and provided to me and condensed them into 13 separate, basically, allegations and issues. And I think, in my opinion, thoroughly worked through most of those. There are a couple that we can't discuss, such as employment issues. Those won't be discussed. But the intent is that I will go back and finalize that agreement, my memo to the board. It will be a public document, and it should be finalized probably in the next couple weeks and be available for a broader discussion when we meet at our next meeting with the board. So at this point, and at that time, it'll be appropriate. I'll comment more on my on what I found with the findings, but to give everybody just a little bit of a sense of what happened, I looked at the issues, just, you know, essentially made it, boiled it down to the 13 that were related issues. Out of those 13s, I looked at the issues, applied a rule of law, what rule was broken or alleged to be broken, mostly alleged to be broken. I found very little of actually anything that was a rule that we even, you know, argued. The analysis then I applied to the facts, and it took some time. I talked to staff people, I talked to board members, I talked to consultants, did a lot of research, looked at documents that were provided, online statements that were provided, just took a long time. Unfortunately, when I'm doing something, I trade minutes for dollars, so taking a long time to analyze these and make sure we collect all the facts cost the district more money than any of us would want to see happen, but it's true, it happened that way, and I think that I respect the board's diligence on this and saying, look, we need to get to the bottom of these, and you know, obviously didn't say it's fair with no expense, but do the work that was necessary to investigate these claims, and I've done it. That, again, like I said, I think most people will be satisfied with the results here, and I think we'll be happy to go on, but I don't want to tip the hand any further and just wait till it's finalized and presented at that time. So there's no action that needs to be taken at this point from the board. I just wanted to give that as information and state that that's, you know, the plan moving forward unless I get other direction at that point.
And the one item we can take is to add that to next month's agenda to make that note, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any other comments by the board on that? Okay. Item number 8, Victor, and regarding the Community Relations Committee.
So I just provide both an update and also for the record some of the things that between the time that we were asked to form this committee and today, just provide an update and codify some things. We have confirmed our members. I'm not going to repeat the names because we covered those in a prior meeting. And we are scheduling our first meeting in this month, in July, in the next few weeks. We have a call for agenda items. We have completed those. And we have addressed some comments from the chairman, as well as making sure that we are complying with open meeting laws. So, I would also like to kind of update the board on some of this. Some of the members have already approved and actually previewed, but here's just a list of things that we've done for the website. It is now easier to see meeting announcements and agendas. You'll see that on the front banner. We also have made the meetings and agendas searchable from 2022 onwards. So you can search it now and it's all text and instead of PDFs. The PDFs are still available. The audio record is also available, but it's much easier to look through the agendas and the minutes and do a search. One of the things that I think we need to formalize today is we do have the open comment form available. It's now available online. I think most of the board have has approved it, and what are the parameters on its use, which is essentially to mimic the written form, and that any requests for public record related to the forms would still be coursed through secretary and also through our legal counsel, and those have been also made as part of the functionality of the form. So I just wanted to get confirmation that we can now release that online, what we call the blue form. So.
Yeah, and then we've had that discussion, and and I think we're all in favor of that, making it a line available. Would that mean that we have the blue cards in the room, we have the form online, and that would preclude others just from in that section saying, hey, I've got some comments. They would need to complete that and put that in.
Yep.
That makes sense to
and
me.
And then
too.
Larry will have a cutoff based on an online date, and he will still gather it and ask each of those that submitted a form to then have a public comment period.
So we'll have people here and people online, and in every case, they will have completed it.
You would have completed.
Great. I think we're all good with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The other benefit to this is everything will be recorded. We're required to keep the records anyway, so this way we don't have to have the manual record. The online record will be kept. We will also now are ready to release a set of FAQs. A lot of the questions that were commonly asked, we now have answers and we'll post them. It's probably going to take a few days, but it's ready to go live. The request for the board of directors to have bios and pictures, we're working on those, and that would also be available soon. We all heard that we will have dashboards for our projects, and as they come online, those will be available. I believe that Christy, you're also working on a dashboard for financial reporting, and we'll also include that when it's available. So we have. The last thing that I have in here is just more to formalize the time that we will open the doors for prior to the board meetings. The request has been to open it half an hour before, but I think there's either an informal or an interim solution. Maybe you would just formalize it that we open it 10 minutes prior, but maybe just have an approval.
Let's go 10 for now. Okay. Everyone all right with that?
And agreed.
I mean, to me, the issue is get here, have time to digest, right? Mm-hmm. And it might take me an hour to actually get through the treasurer's report, but I don't think anyone's diving that deep. So why don't we do 10?
10 sounds good.
And see how it goes. Okay.
So we have a motion to approve that we open the doors 10 minutes prior to the public meetings.
And you go ahead and you made a motion. We'll just and second that?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay.
And with that, if you have any questions on the Community Relations Committee, from the board.
Thank you. It's progress and good progress, and there's much progress to be made, and we discussed that. It's great.
Probably a little demo to the board on the Q&A, how it's going to work would be nice.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I was thinking, I don't know that it's rolling thunder, but it's rolling something, right? The FAQs will just continue to get longer. And,
yes.
You know, we'll just keep
it'll
building.
It'll be just searchable again and posted. So.
Just keep building, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, let's move into item 9, new business. Number 1, Sharon, regarding Strawberry View SV3 tank and booster station.
Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and table that.
Okay. Okay. Item number 2, Christy, I think we were going to table that one as well, right?
Yes, I learned some new information literally 15 minutes before the meeting, and I'd like to compile a report for the board.
We'll table that.
Yes, thank you.
We have to vote on tabling.
Oh.
Oh, we have to vote on tabling. So
I make a motion that we table item number 9-1.
Second. Oh, you seconded it. All those in favor of tabling 9-1, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
Make a motion we table 9-2.
Second.
All those in favor of tabling 9-2, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Tabled. Item 3, we even, just so we know, we even talked about tabling this, but my view is that it was worth at least a preliminary discussion. So, Steve, the issue is leaks in the water on Pine Cone Trail.
Yes. We received notification probably about a month ago and looked into it, found out that this particular Pine Cone Trail has had 7 water leaks and shutdowns in the last 2 years. So we did a little bit more further investigation on it, found out that where the leaks are coming from, and it's an old black 2-inch pipe running up Pinecone Trail subsurface road, about 320 feet, actually connecting three residents on that portion. With that, we've also found out that the beginning of Pinecone Trail has an old four-inch that goes up 600 feet and connects into a new six-inch line. So what we're proposing is to go ahead and combine the two efforts to fix the hard road schedule on Pinecone Trail as well as the other one. Now, the 600 feet involves six houses on that, so we're really affecting nine homes on this, but this really needs to be looked at. It's seven times in 2 years is too much. So we've got the design, we're not there yet on the cost. There are limitations that we can only do in-house, but Corey wanted to just get that out at least to the public so that you guys know that we are looking into items like this.
And not ready for a proposal, just gathering information, but and Steve's been all over that in terms of length, distance, cost, and it's work in process. Thank you. Item number four, discuss and take possible action regarding vehicles at Pinecrest Lot 25. Steve Ween.
Yes, sir. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah,
really well.
Okay, good. This is a very similar situation to the Milk Ranch well discussion earlier. On the district property, there seems to be, I'm going to characterize them as abandoned vehicles, maybe vehicles that could run, but the district isn't sure about exactly who owns them. My understanding is that staff has already contacted the Sheriff's Department. They were extremely helpful in identifying potentially owners of the vehicles, and that the vehicles were towed away, and that the owners are going to be notified of where the vehicle is. It's not on our property. So Sharon can probably add a little bit more factual basis to that. That's a pretty high level discussion. But the whole point of this is, and I commend staff and the board for doing this, is that we got to have security of our properties and our lands. We cannot have abandoned cars, things of that going on where we have public water systems, wells and tanks and things of that nature. So as they continue to police our sites, make sure they're clean, we don't have other people putting their vehicles, property, whatever on it. But it seems to be going well. I think that's a pretty clear-cut issue that we need to address, and so far there's been no downside to my knowledge. Well, that's it. I don't think we need any action by the board. I think staff has taken the right action. But if something pops up where we need your attention, that would be great. If there's some other course the board wants us to take, let us know. Now's your opportunity. Thank you.
Any comments on that?
No.
Thank you. Let's identify any potential agenda items. I think we mentioned the readout on community issues and litigation. The two items that were tabled.
All right.
Any others? Of course, we have time in between now and then to add agenda items. Last call for that. Do we have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned.